We have been talking about Bible authority in our Sunday evening lessons. And we have mentioned that much of the religious world today has thrown the concept of Bible authority really out the window. It's pretty much a free-for-all now. They just do whatever they want to do. Whatever religious practice that seems good to them or seems to do good to them or has the appearance of good to them, then they just do it. And the problem is, when we go to the Word of God, we find that there are restrictions upon the things that God allows us or commands us to do. The song we just sang was based on Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now that doesn't mean, I've said many times, that we can just do something religiously and then just stick Jesus' name on there, like Jump for Jesus or Clowns for Christ or Lemonade for the Lord. That's utterly ridiculous. That verse means that we have to have the authority of Christ for everything that we practice. In Jesus' name. When an officer says stop in the name of the law, he means stop by the authority of the law. In lesson 3 last week, we saw how religious people today avoid Bible authority by appealing to various false standards of authority. And in our lesson this evening, we want to take a look at some people who actually lived in the Old Testament times who avoided Bible authority. And as you'll see, these people did not get away with it. Regardless of how much good they thought they were doing, God punished them severely. You see, God had told them what to do, and they did more. And many times they no doubt tried to justify in their mind or rationalize in their mind their actions with some of the false standards we talked about last week. Well, it just seems good to me, and look at all the good it does. And I just don't think God would mind if we did this way. And yet we find that they paid with serious consequences. And so in thinking about Bible example of avoiding authority, I want us to think about three things. Number one, we see as we go to the Bible, the mandate for the people. Now, when you place a mandate upon something, or when you give a mandate, you are making that thing essential. There's no choice in the matter. Now, we've already discussed how serious God is when he tells his people what to do. And God expects man to obey exactly the things that he has commanded. Nothing more, nothing less. We've looked at these passages many times. In 1 Peter 4 and verse 11, the Bible says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God, the word of God. Nothing more, nothing less. Not the creed books written by men, not the disciplines, not the catechisms. Those things were written, concocted by men. But we are to speak the word of God. 2 Timothy 4:2, Paul told Timothy to preach the word. Not his opinions or his ideas or his think-sos. In 2 John verse 9, we learn that man is not to transgress the doctrine of Christ. That is to go ahead or to go beyond. And that verse says, he who transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. And then, of course, in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6 to 9, where Paul places the strongest of curses upon anyone, man or angel, who speaks anything contrary to the things that they had already been taught. And as we go to the Old Testament, we see that God has always felt this way about his revelation to man. Those in the Old Testament times who did not do things exactly as God prescribed paid a very great price. God commanded in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 2, you shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Don't add to it, don't take from it. In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 6, the Bible says there, do not add to his words lest he rebuke you and you be found a liar. Religious people add to the words of God all the time. Often I've heard someone say, well, as long as we all believe in Christ, that's the important thing. And then they just go on and add here, add there, subtract here, subtract there, practice whatever they want. I'll ask him, now, where's your Bible authority? Where in the Bible do you have authority to practice this or to practice that? Well, that's not important. As long as we all just believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Where is the verse that says that? I've been challenging people for years. Show me the verse that says, well, as long as you just believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that's all it takes. I can show you verse after verse. John chapter 12. Read that whole chapter sometime. People there who believed in Jesus but would not confess him because they feared being put out from the synagogue. Now, were they saved? They believed in Jesus. After all, that's all that matters, right? Is it okay to believe in Jesus and refuse to confess him because you fear man? No, it's not. So you see, it takes more than just believing in Jesus. We have to do exactly what God has said. The famous blessings and cursings that were given to the Israelites have their very basis upon careful, strict obedience to God's commandments. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. The Bible says, now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. Then down in verse 15 of Deuteronomy chapter 28, it says, but it shall come to pass if you do not obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe carefully all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you today, that all these curses will come upon you and overtake you. Now, when God was commanding Joshua, remember in Joshua chapter 1, God had announced, Moses, my servant, is dead. And he began to give Joshua instructions as to taking the land finally and occupying the promised land flowing with milk and honey. And when God was commanding Joshua to take over leadership of the people of Israel, he told them about the law. And if you notice in verse 7 of Joshua chapter 1, God said only, be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. And watch this. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn to the left. God says, I have spoken. Here's my words. Just do what I said. Nothing more, nothing less. So you see, God has always felt that way. He has always placed this mandate upon his people, making it mandatory for them to do exactly what he said. Nothing more and nothing less. But sadly, there were many instances where people under the old law thought they could get away with doing things their own way. And this brings us to our next point. We have seen the mandate for the people. Secondly, we see the misbehavior of the people. Whenever somebody chooses to do something in a different way than God told them to do it, there are very serious consequences, as we're going to see. Because God says what he means, and he means what he says. He don't need us to counsel him. He don't need us to change his words in order to try to make them fit our society or to modernize his word. God's word is timeless and applies the same way to all ages. Consider some examples. First of all, think about Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, that verse tells us, and the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's pretty straightforward. God didn't make that confusing for them. There's the tree. It's the knowledge of good and evil. It's right there in the middle of the garden. Don't eat it. If you eat it, you'll die. It's not hard. And a close reading of Genesis chapter 3 reveals that Adam and Eve finds them doing exactly what God told them not to do. There they are eating of the forbidden fruit. You know, somebody might say, so what? They ate a piece of fruit. Big deal. It was a big deal to God. And it became a big deal to Adam and Eve. You see, because they disobeyed God and ate of that fruit, God cast them out of the beautiful garden. They died spiritually, and they began immediately to die physically. And all of this from eating one piece of fruit that Eve decided was harmless. And based upon Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6, it would seem that Eve thought that eating the fruit would do a lot of good. Kind of like what we talked about last Sunday night. Well, look at all the good it would do. Look at all the good it does. The ends don't justify the means. In verse 6, it says, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. She looked at it. Well, look at it, how beautiful it is. And it'll make me wise. Look at all the good that it'll do. Didn't do any good, did it? Cost them their spiritual life, cost them their physical life, cost them their existence in the beautiful garden. From eating a piece of fruit. But you see, God told them not to eat that fruit, or they would surely die. And although Eve thought eating the fruit would do a lot of good, God thought differently. She transgressed the command, and she paid the price. But let's think about Nadab and Abihu. That's another example of some who misbehaved. Over in the book of Leviticus chapter 10, just a couple of books over, in Leviticus chapter 10 and verses 1 and 2, the Bible says, Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, put incense on it, and offered profane fire before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Now the literal translation for that word profane there, when they offered profane fire before the Lord, the literal translation for that word is unauthorized. Matter of fact, I was glad to see a translation come out, the English Standard Version. And if you read this verse in the English Standard Version, it translates the word unauthorized. That's what the word means. They offered unauthorized fire to the Lord. Now, they offered fire to the Lord, but they didn't use the kind of fire that God had commanded because the fire they used was unauthorized. You see, they did it differently than the exact way God had specified. Well, so what? Someone says, did Nadab and Abihu worship the Lord? Oh, yeah, they worshiped the Lord. That's a good thing, right? Do you think they were sincere when they offered this worship? Well, there's no reason to think otherwise. Was their worship acceptable to God? Absolutely not. Why? Because they didn't do it the way God said do it. They didn't follow God's specs. Listen, it's possible to worship God, even sincerely, and still be wrong. Dead wrong. God struck these men dead on the spot. I always think of what Paul said about his beloved Jewish brethren, and over in the book of Romans chapter 10, the first couple of verses, where he said, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. That means they're not saved, they're lost. But what's wrong? They're very religious people. Read on, it says, for I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God. That's a good thing, right? They have a zeal for God. But here's the problem, he says, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. See, Paul says they're very religious people. They're serving God. They have great zeal for God. He said, but I want them to be saved. They're lost. Why? Because they've created their own way of doing it. They're following their own righteousness rather than the way God said to do it. Yes, you can be a religious person. Yes, you can be zealous for God. Yes, you can be a good person morally and still be lost. Why? because you're not doing it the way God said do it. It's that simple. Think about Moses. In Numbers chapter 20 and verse 8, it was another one of those incidences when they didn't have water to drink out in the wilderness when they were wandering. And God told Moses, take the rod, you and your brother Aaron gather the congregation together. Speak. Now watch this. This is what God tells Moses. Speak to the rock before their eyes, and it will yield its water. Thus you shall bring water for them out of the rock and give drink to the congregation and their animals. As you can see, once again, God gave Moses very specific, exact directions as to what he wanted Moses to do in supplying water for the people of Israel. He was told specifically, speak to the rock. But that's not what Moses did. Verse 11 tells us that Moses struck the rock twice with his rod. Now, was there anything about striking the rock and God's directions to Moses? No, not on this occasion. Remember, God told him, speak to the rock. And we all know that Moses didn't get to enter the promised land with the chosen of Israel. Do you remember why? It was because of this very incident. Moses missed out on the land flowing with milk and honey because he disobeyed God on this occasion. Verse 12 of Leviticus chapter 20 tells us that. Now maybe you're thinking the punishment was rather harsh. Listen, God takes what he says very seriously. Moses should have just been content to do it the way God said rather than the way he felt was the best. But, you know, another interesting point about this story is that when Moses struck the rock twice, water did come out, didn't it? Moses could have argued, well, there's the good. See, we got good results. People got the water. Ends justify the means. Wrong. Moses was punished severely for not doing it the way God said doing it, but doing it his own way. Think about Uzzah. Maybe or maybe you haven't heard of Uzzah. Interesting name. David was in the process of moving the Ark of the Covenant, really, you know, and not according to the specs that God had given him in that. It kind of set up this incident with Uzzah. But in 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 6 and 7, the Bible tells us that when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. And then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. Now, does it seem odd to you that God would kill Uzzah for this? After all, this was the holy, sacred ark of the covenant. Had Uzzah not reached out and caught it with his hand, this holy vessel would have come down upon the dirty, filthy ground. There's no doubt in my mind that Uzzah was very good-hearted about this, that he was thinking he was actually doing God a favor. And to be quite honest, from man's point of view, it seems that he did do a very good and honorable thing. I mean, after all, again, it's the ark of God. I don't want it hidden in that dirty, filthy ground. I'll just reach out and grab it because the oxen stumbled, the cart wavered, he didn't want it to fall. Sounds good to me. But we're told that God struck him dead on the spot for his error. Did it sound good to God? Now, why'd God do that? Why'd God kill him? The answer is very simple. God had said in Numbers 4 and verse 15, and when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, but they shall not touch any holy thing lest they die. You see that? God said if you touch any holy thing, including the Ark of the Covenant, you die. God gave no exceptions, did he? Except unless it's stumbling from the cart and then hit the ground, or except this or except that. God had said, you touch it, you die. So Uzzah was warned, wouldn't he? God wasn't unfair and unjust in this. Seemed like a good thing to do. Seemed noble and honorable. But the fact is, Uzzah had no authority to touch that ark. Not even if it seemed to have a good outcome. The ends do not justify the means. Look at all the good it does. It's not acceptable to God. It's we're doing this because God said do it. And he gave us the authorization to do it in his word. Oh, we need to get back to the Bible. And do only the things that God has authorized us to do. And so already we've seen two important things regarding this idea of Bible examples of avoiding authority. We have seen the mandate for the people. God made it mandatory that you follow his word exactly. Number two, we have seen the misbehavior of the people. They didn't do what God commanded, did they? They added to, took away, a little here, a little there, and God dealt with them very severely. And finally this evening we see the message to the people. In every one of these examples, God gave a very important lesson to all of his children. Why are these examples recorded in the Old Testament? Why are we able to look at them as we did tonight and to read them? It's so that we could get the message. So that we can learn the powerful lesson, and that lesson is simply this: obey God exactly or perish. Now, does God strike people today when they disobey God? Does strike them dead on the spot? No, he doesn't. But if they don't repent, they'll pay at judgment day. And they'll lose their souls eternally. And found in the examples is a very strong and powerful lesson for us today. And talking about the Old Testament, these things that we read, Paul said in Romans 15, verse 4, for whatever things were written before, that's these things in the Old Testament, were written for our learning. For our learning. So we need to look at these men, how they went to the right or to the left, added a little here, a little there from the word of God, and were struck dead. We need to get the lesson. God is serious about what he said. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, the Bible says, now all these things happened to them as examples. Happened to who? The people in the Old Testament. It happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the end of the ages has come. That's us. We read them, we learn the lesson. We look at Uzzah, and we see how he disobeyed God, and how he was struck dead. And we learn the lesson, we better not disobey God. We better do it exactly as God said does it, whether I think it does good or not. If I don't have God say so, I better not do it. These two verses make it abundantly clear that although we no longer are to appeal to the Old Testament for authority in religion, as we've discussed in a previous lesson, we can and must learn from the examples of disobedience of these men and women. And the message to the people is the same today. The lesson is timeless. From the beginning of creation to the end of the ages, God expects man to obey his directions exactly. Nothing more, nothing less. Those who choose to have it their own way, as we have seen, will perish. And those who choose to add to or take away from the word of God to suit their own taste or to satisfy their own fanciful whims will suffer severely. May we always learn from these examples and these lessons. Let's open our Bibles and let's read and study them carefully. And let's do things exactly the way God said to do them. Nothing more. Nothing less. And let's teach others. Sometimes I tremble when I think of all the wonderful people that I know in this world who are caught up in religions that don't have book, chapter, and verse for everything they practice. Going along under the delusion that, well, as long as we just believe in God and all accept Christ as our personal Savior, then that's really all we need. And having not one verse of Scripture that teaches that. No, we have to do it the way God said to do it. So concerning Bible examples of avoiding authority, let's learn these lessons. Let's see the mandate for the people. God has placed a mandate upon us today, 2 John 9, that we do not go outside the doctrine of Christ. Let's learn from the misbehavior of the people. Those who misbehave, those who do not follow exactly God's directions, will suffer greatly. And let's get the lesson. Let's see the message to the people. Let's obey God exactly. Do things exactly the way He said do them. Nothing more, nothing less. Let's pray.